It's challenging today to find a church that is committed to preaching the Word of God so as to fulfill Christ's great commission. That is our goal here at the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to join us for worship 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. EscondidoURC.org is the website. 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido is the address. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Declaring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Let us give our attention to the word of the Lord. This is 1 Samuel Chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called to Samuel. And he answered, and he said, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called out as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity that he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning. And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord has spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he has said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, if I asked you tonight to highlight the greatest blessing from the Lord in your lives, what would it be? What would it be? I'm sure there'd be a long list of blessings. I mean, where do you start with a question like that? But I'm talking about priorities. I'm talking about what would be the number one blessing that you have been given far above everything else. A blessing so great, so wonderful, so common to us that I'm pretty sure you might not have even thought about it when I asked. If you didn't have this, nothing else would make sense in life. You would go through life with no meaning. You would go through life with no hope, no understanding. You would go through life in total darkness with no perspective and no salvation. You would be completely in the darkness. So do you know what the single greatest blessing, boys and girls, yet, that he's given to you? It's his word, isn't it? If he's magnified that above his name, and it's in that word that we know Jesus, what would you have tonight without the word of God? Think about it. What would we have? How dependent then are you upon it? That's the next thing that kind of follows if you're going to think about what is the most important thing. How dependent are we on it? How much do we really spend time in it? Let's be honest. How much time in a given week do you open it? How much time in a given week do you reflect upon it? If God decided tonight, he said, that's it. I'm done with giving the word. I'm bringing an end to it. And he pulled the plug and he said, you're not going to be able to have it anymore. How would you handle that? Would you all of a sudden realize what you really had lost? Better said, what would it indicate if in a place where God's people reside, in a city full of Christians, what would it indicate if in that place nobody knew it anymore? Or didn't understand it anymore? Or didn't care about it anymore? What would that really be saying? What would that be saying about God, and what would that be saying about us? Imagine life without the Bible, just for a minute. Just imagine it. Or without any preachers who actually delivered it in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power and actually opened up the Word of God to your hearts and minds. Imagine that. If you can begin to contemplate what that would be like, and it brings no response, no emotion, I would be safe to say tonight the word has never been open to your heart and mind. That is a devastating thought. How often do we really take it for granted? Has it really made an impact? What would you miss if it were taken to you? Well, if that brings distress, I'm thankful. Because you're going to be deeply touched tonight by what happened to Israel. I want to leave you here realizing just how dependent you are. You get up in the morning, boys and girls, and you eat food. And you need food to live. But what happens if you don't eat this food? Jesus tonight is going to challenge us about the importance of the word. And that we should be hungering and thirsting for it in our lives after righteousness. Because it's possible to not know the Lord. Let's open this up tonight. Chapter 3 begins with a statement that should make us halt in shock. It's easy to read by something like this. It's easy to read the scriptures and pass right by. You know this in your reading. And I hope it makes us stop. But I want you to think about the very first verse of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. God was not speaking. He just said those particular days in Israel's history, God had spoken a lot before, but in that particular time, in that particular place, there was no revelation. Darkness. The people were completely walled off in the darkness with regard to the Lord. And how shocking it is that in the previous chapter, they're all coming up to the house of the Lord for worship. They're all doing the things that they were supposed to be doing, beside the priests, of course, robbing and stealing. But God had chosen through it all not to speak. They didn't have the Bible, of course, like we do. Everyone sits here tonight with an open Bible. They were completely dependent, the people. They were completely dependent on the Lord raising up a prophet and sending the prophet to speak in the name of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. And everyone bowed and trembled. How did you know? There were none. There were none in Israel in those days. There were no prophets. Scary. Oh, sure, a man of God had come in the last chapter, but I'm talking about who were steadily announcing the will of God. That was a special judgment proclamation. The prophets were silent. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. What a chilling opening to this section. It reminds me of what Proverbs 29 says, when there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Psalm 74 makes the same cry. When we don't see signs, we don't see our signs, there's no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Why do you withdraw your hand? One of the worst statements comes out of the book of Amos. Remember this one? Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or water, but a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. The Lord described a day to Israel when he would be absolutely quiet, and people would be starving spiritually. People would be empty spiritually. It would be like running around just to get a bite to eat because you've not eaten in a certain amount of time. They're not going to get the word. What a terrible prophecy that was coming upon the people. Now you can't read this tonight. When you come to this verse in verse 1 and it says, the word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation. It was small revelation like you got last week with Eli. What is going on? What happened? Why is God not speaking? And the opening and everything we've been studying gives us a great indication as to why. That's a direct response, beloved, to God's divine displeasure that he is withholding his word because something has happened in Israel. Now, we've studied this. We've looked at this for the past few weeks. You know now what was going on in Israel. The priests were doing awful things. They were coming up to worship, and there was no joy in it. They weren't getting the word. The priests were stealing. People abhorred worship, and awful things were happening at the door of the tabernacle, and the sins were so great in the sight of the Lord. Remember that in verse 17 of chapter 1 and 2? Actually, chapter 2. And it was a sad thing. We really went after the priests. We really look at what the priests were doing. But it was never that the people weren't at fault either. Throughout the Bible, we find the problem that the people often wanted this kind of stuff. It was a strange thing that as they turned from the Lord's law and they did what they wanted to do, the consequence was God shut it down. God shut down the word. He stopped speaking. And the people had completely forgotten what a privilege it was to come and to hear the word of the Lord. So this is where we are tonight. Excuse me. The judgment is seen here, and that what was spoken throughout Israel's history became the prophets and priests' own messages and not the Lord's. Jeremiah said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I've not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, a divination, a worthless thing, and a deceit of their own heart. So this was where it was. The word of God had become totally rare. The word of the Lord was silenced. Now, we don't think about these things, but I want you to notice the connection here in verse 2 of what happened with Eli. The Lord is showing us this. The real indicator of why this occurred is right in verse 2 with Eli. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and before the lampstand of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark was, stop. Two lights just went out. Do you see that? Did you see the connection there? There's a play there between Eli's physical sight going out and the lamp of the Lord going out. Sound familiar? Remember what the Lord threatened in Revelation, that he would remove the lampstand? There is a strong play here that directly, in light of Eli's own physical blindness, the light was going out in Israel. There was a direct connection that the Lord wants us to see here. What's being highlighted is that Eli's physical blindness was a direct reflection of Israel's spiritual darkness. And so just like in the New Testament, we studied this morning that blindness is often used to describe the blindness of the human heart. We looked at what Jesus said, "For judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Eli's house was totally blind. The light had gone out. Darkness had come over them all. But a light is going to come. How much should we be thinking about this reality today? You know, is this even possible today? I was giving a chapel a few years ago at a Christian school. And actually, it was quite a few years ago before I was here. And I spoke on Amos 8. And I spoke to all the high school students. It was a Christian high school in California. And I spoke to them on Amos 8 of this famine, not of bread or water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And a teacher walked up to me afterward, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, "You know, can you have a famine with the bread in your hands?" And I never forgot that. That never has left me. What a strange kind of thing, isn't it? Do you know that since 1900, there have been 200 English translations of the Bible? 200. And I researched 182 study editions. The Remnant Study Bible, the Men of Color Study Bible, the Revival Study Bible, the Extreme Teen Study Bible, just to name a few. And when does this stuff stop, you know? Whatever kind you want to get, pink, blue, whatever color, everyone is writing, ironically today, about in the period of church history, we've never seen a period of biblical illiteracy stronger than our own. Isn't that a strange phenomenon? One author states that the key test of Christian faithfulness today is not the affirmation of a creed or catechism or knowledge of the biblical text, but only the capacity to claim an emotional relationship with Jesus. A book came out not too long ago with a series of interviews from American Christian teenagers. This author writes, and I would suggest this is very prevalent where we are. "The majority of teens interviewed reflected the belief that God is primarily concerned with making people happy, bailing them out when they get in trouble, and providing them with the necessary goods to enjoy life. In other words, God is basically a nice, permissive dad with a big wallet." That was very prevalent at the Christian school I taught in. Should we be thinking about a famine today? And in what kind of terms? With the Bible in everyone's hands, do we really understand it? Do we really know it? Are we really hearing the word of the Lord today? Think about it. I suggest that the very thing we're experiencing today is the exact opposite of what people think is happening with all this stuff. that actually the flood of messages that have come out of this is no different than the days of Israel when the prophets, and what happened is the word of the Lord was rare, but the prophets applying the Bible were speaking their own messages that were not the word of the Lord. You know? And just to give you a taste of that, this just came to my mind. Jeremiah chapter 23 is just an amazing section of Scripture. Listen to this. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back. And he goes on, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and it caused my people to hear my words, they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings. You know, it's in this section. Look at verse 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? There's two kinds of speaking that go on. One that's all about nothing, and the other that shatters hearts. And what a powerful thing the Lord is contrasting here. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. What happens? In the midst of all this darkness, God is done with the house of Eli, and so what does he do? This is so amazing tonight, isn't it? He raises up a prophet. He raises up someone who's going to speak the word. I love that. That in the midst of darkness, 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 God is always preparing someone to come and to speak the word. You always knew a true prophet. Did you notice what it said in Jeremiah? He has to stand in my counsel. You always knew a true prophet in a few different ways. He had to be called by God, he had to stand in God's counsel, and he had to deliver just what the word was. He didn't have any choice to deviate. Called, stood, and delivered. That's what it was. And so that's exactly what you have laid before you tonight. God is showing you he's raising up somebody who's going to speak his word. So in verse 3, Eli is lying down in his place, but Samuel is lying, interestingly, in verse 15, in the house of the Lord. There's a contrast. Eli is in darkness. Samuel is before the Lord. In verse 4, we read, then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli. Here I am, for you called me. He says, I didn't call, lie down. And he went and lay down. Happens a second time, verse 6. The Lord called yet again. You should be feeling the weight of this calling, because the word is the Lord summoned. This was not for a chat. The Lord is placing his call on Samuel. When he calls his preacher, when he calls his prophet, it is a calling directly from him. The Lord reaches out and grabs somebody whom he has chosen. He is calling Samuel as a prophet. So Samuel hears this a second time, and he goes back to Eli, and Eli says, go lie down, I didn't call. Verse 7 is remarkable, isn't it? It gives you some annotation here. It gives you some explanation here on what we have to explain what is going on here. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. What an amazing verse, isn't it? You're learning so much about how we come to know the Lord. You're learning so much of what the Lord does when he saves someone. And especially in this context, who's going to come and speak in the Lord's name? And isn't it interesting that all throughout the Old Testament, you had dreams and visions and all these signs and wonders. And yet what's said here is that the Lord had to reveal the word to Samuel so as to open the heart and the mind. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for taking the time to tune in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Hi, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you like what you've heard today on Abounding Grace Radio, we do give you a sincere invite to join us for worship. 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. are the worship service times on Sundays. You can go to our website to learn more about who we are and what we believe. EscondidoURC.org. 1864 North Broadway is our address here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.